You never know where you'll find it. Maybe I should say, you never know where it's going to find you. As one fella wrote, quote, "I get yelled at fairly often in my job. And not just yelled at. Sometimes it's face-burning, vein-popping, out-of-your-lungs screaming fury." Where did he encounter such a job? What was the occasion? He said, "I am a kid's hockey coach." He gets yelled at by the coaches, the other coaches, the parents, and sometimes the kids themselves. So let me ask you a question. Where does anger find you? I dare say you don't have to be very old for anger to come into your life. I've talked to enough people in my lifetime to know that some people experience it early from their fathers. They get it at home from their mothers, or they get it as they grow older from their peers, maybe their siblings. They get out of school and go to work and they get it from the boss, or if they go into athletics, from the coach. And then, of course, if you get married, how many times have I heard about that? That married people get angry at each other. So, how do you handle an angry person? Now, as you know, we've been going through the book of Proverbs, and we've come to the topic of anger. There's so much material. I divided this subject into two parts. And last time, I spoke about anger from the point of view of you being angry. But as I looked at all the verses on anger in the book of Proverbs, I couldn't help but notice that a number of these verses don't talk about your anger. It talks about somebody else's anger. So I decided to talk about how to handle anger that belongs to somebody else. Now, before we look at Proverbs, I want to give a little disclaimer. If you look at the subject of anger in its entirety, not just in Proverbs, you have to conclude that sometimes people internalize their anger. And to use the psychological term, they stuff it. They pout. They withdraw. That's one type of anger. Then, of course, there are those people who externalize it. And that consists of a large number of different types. They can be angry and not say a whole lot, but say something because it's external. Or they could yell and scream and swear and even throw things. Now, it seems to me that the references to somebody else's anger in the book of Proverbs is basically dealing with somebody who is expressing it. It's not dealing with those who internalize it. And I think that depending on the verse, we have to look at what the expression might be, because there's a number of different ways you can express it. But basically, I think these verses are probably talking about verbally aggressive people who are throwing insults and maybe even threatening. So we need to keep in mind that there are all kinds of different types and kinds of anger as we look at these verses. Now, with that in mind, what does the book of Proverbs say that you should do when you've encountered somebody who is angry? Well, basically, I'm going to suggest two things. First of all, I think there are several proverbs that acknowledge that dealing with an angry person is difficult. Now, that might be like saying the obvious, but a lot of Proverbs is like that. But I think we should review that dealing with an angry person is difficult. And maybe that's the first thing you need to know, that you're dealing with a difficult situation. For example, look at Proverbs 27, verse 3. Proverbs 27, verse 3. It says, "A stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them." Proverbs 27, verse 3, talks about a fool's wrath. The commentators go crazy trying to identify this person. They say things like, he has unreasonable passion. He is unreasonable. He is excessive. It's ungovernable. It's furious destruction. At any rate, this is no doubt somebody who is expressing verbally aggressive anger. And he's called a fool. And what that says, if you are on the receiving end of that, is that that is heavier than carrying a large stone or a heavy bag of sand. Matter of fact, the point seems to be that a man would rather carry a heavy stone or a large bag of heavy sand than to be constantly annoyed by a loud mouth fool. If you've ever encountered such a person, you know whereof I speak, that it can just be a weight. It can be difficult. One wrote, Kim, who worked as a customer service agent, said, almost every caller was angry. They was angry in that they couldn't remember their password. They were angry because their credit card was denied. They were angry because they forgot to cancel the service that they'd been paying for something they hadn't used for 6 months. I left my job in a simmering rage every day because all the anger had to be processed through me. Sometimes I kicked walls. Sometimes I cried in my car before driving home. Sometimes I wrote angry stories with angry characters who did terrible things to everyone around them just because they could. I dealt with it constructively as I could, but I only lived with it for a year. If it had been a lifelong career, I don't think I would have been able to recognize myself by the end. Everyone has their breaking point, and some of us are closer to it than we would ever know. Dealing with an angry person, worse, living with an angry person, can be a very heavy burden. In other words, it's difficult. There are other proverbs that say something similar. For example, in Proverbs 29:22, the text says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. Now, some commentators want to make this two different people, an angry man and a furious man, but most conclude that it's talking about the same person, and that it's talking about somebody's general disposition, not a temporary state or stage they're going through. Now, this is interesting. An angry man stirs up strife. A furious man abounds in transgression. All right, the Bible says, be angry. Remember that in Ephesians 4:26? And sin not. So can you be angry and not sin? Yeah. Is there such a thing as righteous indignation? Sure. But this is going way beyond that. This person is not angry and not sinning. This person is not stopping when the sun goes down because it says they abound in transgressions. So these are angry people who stir up strife, which simply means they're causing trouble. They quibble over little trifles. A hot temper is the cause of many sins. Someone has said, people who are furious abound in sin, being controlled by passion instead of wisdom. Quick-tempered people act foolishly. They have lost self-control, perhaps committing such sins as cursing and insulting others, misusing God's name, being rude, lacking kindness, being cruel or oppressive, being proud. Their furious spirit carries them to extremes. People filled with angry passions are prone to excessive excuse their excesses. So, he is simply saying that people who get angry, and it's part of their disposition, can commit all kinds of sin. I remember years ago reading a book written by a fellow who was in the ministry. And he wasn't writing about anger, and I'm not sure of the context. I just thought it was such an interesting way to say it. I wrote it down and stuck it in my illustration file. But this fellow who knew the Lord and was serving the Lord said that he was describing the nature of his mother's anger. And this is what he said. Her acid words could peel paint off the wall. And I thought, how vivid. Her anger could peel the paint off the wall. Now, how do you deal with an angry person that angry? Well, this verse is not telling us how to do that. We'll get to that in a bit. It's just saying it's difficult to deal with. But in the process of doing this, I thought, what would psychologists say about this? It's such a common problem, and counselors have to deal with it all the time. So I got on the internet and Googled it. And lo and behold, I found an article in Psychology Today that said 5 ways to deal with anger. Number 1, ask yourself if anger is justified. Number 2, stay calm, at least on the outside. 3, avoid character assaults. 4, know when to disengage. 5, stay safe. I thought that was interesting. And especially in light of that proverb, that if they are capable of numerous transgressions and you're dealing with them, stay safe. Now, I thought that was a helpful suggestion. Could you be a little more specific? How do you do that? Then I found another article that gave some specifics. It said this, that you suggest that the two of you sit down in chairs. Notice where the exit doors are, just in case. Attempt to maintain distance about 2 arms length away from your adversary. Control the speed of your speech. In other words, stay safe by planning how you would physically get out of there if you needed to. Now, obviously, that doesn't apply to all cases, but if he's capable of all kinds of transgressions, that's something you should think about. In light of that, I thought, all right, how would you stay safe? What should you do? And I have a suggestion. If you get into a discussion with an angry person, I'm going to make all kinds of suggestions before this is over on how to handle that. But in the sense of staying safe, maybe sometimes what you need to do is simply say, I need to go to the restroom. And maybe, you know, that usually an angry person will let you do that. And maybe while you do that, they can calm down. And maybe if it's so serious, you would have time to call for help. But just as a very practical suggestion, knowing that you're in a difficult situation that could escalate and get very serious, maybe one of the things to do is ask to go to the restroom just to have a break. All right. Another proverb says this situation is so difficult that there are some people you cannot help. Look at Proverbs 19:19. Proverbs 19:19 says, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Boy, does that speak to me. If you've done any counseling at all, you know that you can give some people advice and you're going to have to do it over and over again. Maybe that should speak to parents. They have to be told more than once. But I think this proverb is suggesting that there are people that just aren't going to learn. This, in other words, this is a difficult situation and you just need to know that There are some people that aren't going to get it. So anger harms the people who are angry. You can't help them. Even though they're angry and it hurts them, they're still going to be angry. Someone has said the acid of anger harms the one in whom it's stored more than the one in whom it is poured. And that is true. But they still hang on to the anger. Matter of fact, this is very difficult. Anger distorts your thinking. Now think about that for just a minute. Anger distorts your thinking. Matter of fact, I remember many years ago grappling with some stuff and how to deal with people and emotions and that kind of thing. And I decided that there are three emotions that if you have them, is going to distort your thinking. Anger, fear, and guilt. If somebody is very angry, they aren't thinking straight. So that makes this a very difficult situation. So trying to reason with them or rescue them from their anger is fruitless and a frustrating endeavor. You cannot reason with an angry person. Depends on how angry they are. Some you can if they calm down. But I'm suggesting that what this proverb says, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment. For if you rescue him, he will do it all over again. Even when it hurts him, even when he's punished, it's going to hurt him. And you cannot reason with that kind of person. I've learned that the hard way. You just can't reason with them. So just relax. No, this is a difficult situation. Outside help does not solve an inside problem. So, this is difficult. Now, that being the case, there's another proverb that gets into what you should do, only this tells you what you should not do. There are a couple of things you should not do before we get into what you should do. Look at Proverbs 22:24. 22:24 and 25. All of these proverbs so far are saying one way or another that dealing with this person is difficult. So, 22:24 says, make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man, do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your own soul. Wow, is that interesting? Do not establish a friendship with an angry person. All right. This particular Hebrew word that's translated anger pictures a rapid breathing, perhaps a passionate person. As a matter of fact, it's sometimes translated passionate. And the one that's translated furious means hot, and it refers to burning anger or rage. In other words, this passage is speaking about a hothead. So, people who keep company with hotheads are perhaps going to become like them. Bad company is bad business. Sin is contagious. It never loses its infectious character. So you are best just to not be friends with an angry person. Now let me talk about that for a second. I think I've mentioned before that Proverbs starts out was Solomon talking to his son, and one of the things he tells him up front is be careful of your companions. That's in chapter 1. And he goes in length about that. He talks about your relationship to the Lord. He talks about relationship to your mother, and that gets a verse or two. But boy, he talks about watching your companions, and he goes into quite a discourse. So that has led me to say, look, if you avoided all angry people, you'd have a small list of friends. So I think the bottom line is this, and this verse says it very well. Look at it again. Verse 25. Lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. It seems to me there's a line of demarcation that you can be friends with somebody, in this case an angry person, without it affecting you. The minute it starts affecting you, that's the line of demarcation where you have to withdraw. So, just be careful. And the issue is, are you influencing them or are they influencing you? And when they start influencing you negatively, that's the time to check out. Do not become close friends with an angry person. Now, how would you apply that? Very specifically, very practically, how would you apply that? Well, I can think of two areas real quick. Do not ever enter into a business partnership with an angry person. That is going to be nothing but trouble. Do not do that. But the one area where I think it needs to be most applied is don't marry an angry person. I don't know how many people I have counseled with over the years who were married to an angry person. That is a heavy burden. Not just men. I know of situations where it's the wife as well. Matter of fact, I have recently talked to a man who is married to an angry woman, and it was very discouraging to him. Years ago, a young couple that I knew fairly well was thinking about getting married, and the man came to me and said, "What do you think?" Now, I have a rule. I do not play Cupid. I'm not smart enough to play Cupid. I give it to my wife. She's much better at that than I am, but I don't play Cupid. In this case, I did. And what I said was, I think it'll be okay, but the one thing you need to know is I think she's angry. I think that's an angry person, and that's the only hesitation I would have. Now, that was many years ago. If I knew then what I know now, I would have said to him, "Don't marry her." I didn't do that. And it ended up being a disaster. As far as I know, they're still married. But it's caused no end of problems, not just for him, but for the extended family. Don't marry an angry person. Now, you say, "Well, I'm not thinking about even getting married, or I'm already married." Wonderful. But you know people, and sometimes they may ask you for advice, then that's what you tell them. And that's the verse. That says it very clearly, lest you learn his ways. So that's the line of demarcation. One other verse that seems to me to be saying this is a very difficult problem to deal with is Proverbs 24:17-18. That says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls. Do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displease him, and he turns away his wrath from him." Now, in this case, the wrath is the Lord's wrath. And what he's saying is this. Don't rejoice when your enemy falls. And the fall could not necessarily be into sin. It could be just into trouble. And the point he seems to be making in this verse is, he who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. The Lord will get angry at you. Or to say the same thing another way, God hates gloating because it suggests a superior attitude. Does anybody in the Bible that exemplifies this? It's David. He had an enemy, Saul. Saul was out to kill him. Once David was hiding in a cave, was asleep in the cave, and Saul came in and David did not take advantage of him or hurt him. Then Saul died. Here is what the scripture says about David when Saul, his enemy, died. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. Therefore, David took hold of his own clothes and tore them, and so did the men who were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted till evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. David did not gloat or rejoice. He mourned, even though Saul was his enemy. All right. How are we doing? Only point I think all of these put together is saying is that dealing with an angry person is difficult. It's a heavy burden. It causes conflict. You can't help them. So don't become friends with them. On the other hand, don't rejoice when they fall into trouble either. All right, all that's interesting. But how do you deal with an angry person? What do you do? What specific things can you do besides go to the bathroom? What do you do? Well, I want to talk secondly about that. Everything I've said thus far, one way or another, saying they're difficult people. But there are seven proverbs that I think tell us what to do. Now, I wrestle with giving you this all at once because it's too much. And then I thought, well, let's just survey the scene. Some of you take notes. Maybe you should write these seven verses down. And maybe some of the one or two of these things will pop out at you. As far as I can determine, this is what Proverbs says. There are other things that could be said. This is not exhaustive. But this is what Proverbs says about dealing with an angry person. Number one, seek to prevent it. If at all possible, seek to prevent it. Proverbs 29 verse 8 says, scoffers set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. This is a very vivid proverb. A scoffer, that's someone to which nothing is holy. They despise all authority. In this case, they set a city aflame, which indicates that they not only disregard God's law, but they also despise civil authority. And beyond that they can cause no end of destruction in their anger. They set a city aflame. Well, I'm telling you, the more I go through Proverbs, the more relevant it is to last week's newspaper. Are there angry people that set a city aflame? All right, I digress. Back to the verse. So what's it saying? It's saying simply that scoffers are troublemakers. They set a city aflame. And the wise are peacemakers. Scoffers are troublemakers. Wise people are peacemakers. So, how do you turn away wrath? That's the idea here. A wise man turn away wrath. So, prevent it if all possible. Prevent the city from burning down. How do you do that? Well, I think some of these verses we're going to talk about in a minute help us understand some of that. But at this point, let me make what I consider to be a very, very fundamental issue. It seems to me that angry people, one way or another, feel disrespected. That usually that's at the bottom of what's going on, or at least it's involved. Now, whether they were disrespected or not is not the issue. It's the way they feel. So one of the things that happens when you encounter an angry person is you tend to respond with anger. So I think what the scripture is saying is a wise person turns it away. They turn away their own wrath or anger, and in so doing they are helping to calm the guy that's burning down the city. And in so doing, you're trying to prevent the anger from escalating and burning the whole city down.
Wow.
All right. I want to pursue this just for a second. In dealing with the angry person, this really comes down to who you are as a person. This proverb says, a wise man or wise men turn away wrath. Now, I think it's involved in what they do, this wise action, but it's who they are. They're wise people, and they use wise approaches to dealing with the situation. Now, this doesn't sound like it's directly related, but I think it is. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Now, there's a lot of spiritual truth in this little passage. Tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forgiveness. But I want to focus on verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And I think that gets to the bottom of the way you deal with everybody, and especially angry people. Don't respond. We're going to get to that in another proverb, but let me just lay the foundation. Be at peace. Just be at peace. I had a friend years ago who, this I think was his life's verse. He quoted it all the time. And it really had an impact on me. The verse actually is saying, let the peace of God rule. And the word is umpire. Let the umpire call the shots. So just be at peace. So when people get angry, I'm not, the way he put it was, I'm not going to let you steal my peace. Just be at peace. That article I read said from Psychology Today, be calm. Just relax. Be at peace. That's very important. So you prevent it by being a wise, calm, peaceful person. Now, there are other things we can say. But by the way, part of what I wanted to say here is respect them. Don't disrespect them. And that's why I read that list in Colossians. A wise person knows that under here somewhere is feeling of disrespect. So a wise person, one that has these Christ-like characteristics, will at least respect them. Respect them. That will help prevent the burning down of the city. Now, Proverbs 15:18 says, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allows contention, allays contention. He sets it aside. And again, wrathful here means burning anger. This is the hot-headed person that blows up, and he ignites contention. Someone has said, anger is an ill wind that can quickly blow out the lamp of reason and good judgment. Another has said, people who fly off into a rage always make a bad landing. Don't bring water. Bring water. Don't bring fuel to the fire. So be slow to anger. Don't you get angry. And that goes right back to that list of virtues in Colossians chapter 3. Just be gentle and forgiving and calm, and don't respond in kind. Be slow to get angry. Now, sometimes that's very difficult, especially if the person is angry at you. You know? And especially if they're angry at you unjustifiably. If they're accusing you of things that you aren't guilty of. That's when it's hard to take. And so what happens? It triggers anger in you. And what does that do? Escalate the situation. And before you know it, the city's burning down. So, he says, be slow to anger. I wonder if that's where James got it. Did you ever read James chapter 1? Be slow to wrath, swift to hear, slow to wrath, quick to hear, slow to wrath. Be slow to get angry. And later in the book of James, in chapter 3, he talks about, in chapter 4 actually, he talks about where strife and conflict come from. No doubt, off the anger that he mentions in chapter 1. So, be slow to get angry. All of which means you're going to have enough Christ-like spiritual control temperament to have self-control. Don't respond in kind. That's the point. All right. Here is probably the most famous verse in all of Proverbs on how to deal with an angry person. If I had said to you when you came in, give me a verse in Proverbs that deals with dealing with angry people, this is the verse you'd have probably given me. 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And here we are again. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We're back down to who you are as a person. That a harsh word stirs it up. So be slow to anger and don't use harsh words. Getting the picture? Rather, use a soft answer. The word wrath here is that word that means heat, sometimes translated rage. Isn't that interesting? And soft here, the Hebrew word actually means tender, delicate, soft. Here I think the idea, according to the Hebrew lexicon, is gentle words. So don't get angry, just give them a soft, gentle answer. One commentator said, there is a self-pleasing sarcasm, as if we had rather lose a friend than miss a clever opportunity. Don't use sarcasm. Don't use harsh words. The word harsh actually can mean hurtful or painful. Don't escalate the situation by the words that you use, but use a soft answer. Now, what does that mean? Let's get down real specific. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to suggest that one of the things it means is that you watch your voice volume. That when you get angry, what happens? Somebody's yelling at you. What do? You yell back. Soft. Soft answer. Turns away wrath. So maybe this is saying speak softly. That the answer is not just what you say, it's how you say it that can go a long way. It has been suggested that in this regard, a soft answer would try to find agreement where you can, no matter how obnoxious or outrageous the person's viewpoint may be. You can always find some sliver of agreement. So express that partial agreement with phrases such as, I can see how you might look at it that way. Or sometimes that's probably true, even if at the moment you don't think it is, they say. Or you may have a point. Those kind of statements just bring down the volume. And Solomon says a soft answer can actually turn away wrath. So look at what you say and how you say it. The next couple of suggestions are really interesting. There's a proverb that says appease them. Look at 16:14. As messengers of death is the king's wrath, but a wise man will appease it. Wow. The word appease means to cover, to make atonement, to make reconciliation, to pacify. One commentator said, with the despotic monarchs of the East, punishment, even death, followed royal displeasure. Another said, if the king is angry, it is as if a troop of messengers or angels of death went forth to visit with death him against whom the anger is kindled. But if against whom the anger, the wrath of the king has thus broke forth, it is a wise man, or one near the king, who knows that he will seek to discover the means to cover or to propitiate or appease the king's anger. Now, how do you do that? You appease him. Well, let me make a suggestion. Sometimes the way you appease the person is just shut up. Don't answer. If you do, try to find some place where you can agree. But sometimes, just appease them. Be silent. As a matter of fact, recently I talked with a fella who lives with an angry wife. And I heard him out. And my suggestion was, don't answer her. That's a no-win situation. Let the heathen rage. I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. And she's a believer. Just don't answer. Just be silent. And that may appease them. Or saying something like I suggested a minute ago. One more. Overlook it. Look at Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is he overlooks a transgression. Interesting. I find that particularly interesting because an angry person is usually feeling like they've been treated disrespectfully and unjustly. And you want justice. And this proverb is saying, his glory is to overlook the transgression. And glory here is probably meaning that's the honorable thing to do. To be honorable. So a prudent, patient man is not easily upset by people who offend him. In fact, he overlooks the offense, knowing that to harbor resentment or attempt to take revenge only leads to more trouble. Peter says, love covers a multitude of sins. When you're dealing with an angry person, sometimes, remember these are proverbs, not laws, they don't apply to every situation. Sometimes it's best to just overlook the transgression. And if you want a verse for that, it's Proverbs 19, verse 11. If there's anybody in the Bible who illustrates this, it was David. Solomon, who wrote this book, was his son. Did he learn this from his father? By watching his father? Very possibly. Those who have insight are slow to get angry. And when they do not hold it in, onto it. They replace anger and resentment and malice with forgiveness and forbearance. When it comes to anger, practice self-control, not self-indulgence. I said that was the last proverb. I have one more. That was number 6. Here's number 7. This one's going to really surprise you. One is overlook it. Give them a gift. Proverbs 21:14 says, a gift in secret pacifies the anger, and a bribe behind the back, strong wrath. Proverbs 21:14. You pacify. It means to soothe or subdue by giving them a gift. and maybe give it to them in secret, which even implies that a bribe could calm wrath. Now, I need to quickly add, this proverb is not condoning bribes. There are plenty of passages of Scripture that say that in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. It is simply stating a fact. And the fact is, money talks. Bribes work. Gifts can pacify anger. It's just stating a fact. Whew. Did we learn anything? That was a lot of material. Did you get it? All right. Dealing with other people's anger is difficult. And sometimes it's impossible. So what you should do is, if at all possible, prevent it. Be slow to get angry yourself. Give a soft answer. Appease them. Overlook it. Give them a gift. And do not become their friends or rejoice when they fall. Interesting. Now, I want to conclude by looking at another proverb, one more. In Proverbs 22:8, it says, "He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail." In the final analysis, anger does not work. It's going to fail. And the word fail or sorrow here means trouble as well as wickedness. So those who sow seeds of wickedness will reap a harvest of trouble. So the rage that's used as a rod to smite others will fail. What the wicked achieve through their fury will not last. Now, what I've done in two sessions is talk about anger. I've talked about anger that we have, and now in this session I've talked about anger other people have. And the bottom line, I think, is that last verse. We need to deal with it biblically, and one of the things we need to know is anger's going to hurt you. Paul is very emphatic when he says, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath," even when it's righteous indignation. Because that same passage in Ephesians chapter 4 says, "Be angry and sin not." That's verse 26. The next verse says, "And let not the sun go down on your wrath." So even when you're commanded to be angry, don't harbor it. Because ultimately, it's only going to hurt you. So that applies to this whole subject that we've dealt with in two meetings. One is, when it's your anger, be slow to get angry and put it away. And when it's with other people, deal with it. Deal with it wisely. At least to not harm yourself. But ultimately, anger that is inappropriately dealt with hurts you, whether it's your anger or whether it's somebody else's and you deal with that inappropriately. Anger is only going to hurt you. Bottom line, be at peace. I'm not going to let your anger rob me of my peace. Doctors in Coral Gables, Florida, compared an efficiency of heart pumping action in 18 men with coronary artery disease to 9 healthy men. Each in the study underwent a physical stress test, like riding an exercise bike. 3 underwent a mental stress test, doing math problems in their head, recalling an incident that had made them very angry, and giving them a short speech to defend themselves against this hypothetical charge of shoplifting. Then, Using x-ray techniques, the doctors took pictures of the subject's heart in action during the test. For all of the subjects, anger reduced the amount of blood the heart pumped to the tissues more than any other test. But this was especially true of those who already had heart disease. This article said, why anger is so much more potent than fear or mental stress is anybody's guess. But until we see more research on this subject, it wouldn't hurt to count to 10 before you blow your stack. Because inappropriately dealt with, anger is only going to hurt you, escalate the situation, and burn down the city. Be at peace. Father, may the Spirit of God so work in our heads and our hearts so that we learn in our experience to be slow to anger. That we learn to be Christ-like, to be at peace, to be humble, to be gentle, to be gracious, so that we can glorify your Son and not harm ourselves or others. In Jesus' name, amen.